My name is Ian Campbell McKenna, and in this Procurement in 5 minutes, I promise to tackle some of the biggest challenges and also answer the questions that our profession and our industry face on a day-to-day basis. In today's Procurement in 5 minutes, I am delighted to be joined by Fraser Hill, who's the General Manager of Digital and Process Transformation and Supply Chains at Shell. Now, before I introduce our guest today, Fraser has been working in digital initiatives for over a decade now. And one of the main areas of resistance that he's seen over his career is change efforts fail due to employee resistance. And when employees resist digital transformation, it often is because employees are not really comfortable with new processes and technology, and some are really fearful of job insecurity or increased workload with the adoption of new tools. And this really makes Fraser a great person to have on the show, an ideal person to answer the question, how do we solve the change and engage problem in digitalization? Fraser, it's really great to have you on the show today.
Well, I'm very delighted to be here, Ian. Thank you for having me.
Now, Fraser, a great topic that I'm sure resonates with everybody else is the change and engage problem that we all face when we're going through this digital journey. And one of the main aspects is when we're doing digital transformation. Now, you're well versed in this situation, right, where you've been through multiple transformations. So, you know, could you educate us on some of the roadblocks that people will encounter when we're going through that digital transformation?
Yeah, indeed. So I've been working around digital for over a decade now. And if I look at successful versus unsuccessful implementations, an unsuccessful one being where adoption is low, generally as a rule of thumb, you can trace all that back to a really poor experience in the change and engage cycle. So human beings are naturally resistant. You know, if you go biologically, it's what keeps us safe, right? Human beings don't like change because it kind of represents scary things, you know, in the woods and in the hills when we were living in caves. So human beings don't like change as a rule. And so given that they don't like change, helping them through that process and planning it into your digital delivery, into your program, really is a critical investment. A man much smarter than me once said, for every dollar you spend, you need to spend at least a dollar on the change and engage side of things. And most projects, you know, they'll have a delivery phase, and you should probably double it for your post-implementation hypercare and change and engage period.
That's a really good point. I was actually reading some, you know, documentation on that. I think it was a study by McKinsey, and they said about 70% of change efforts fail due to employee resistance. As you rightly said, it's the resistance against digital transformation, and it's often because employees are really comfortable with the existing processes, and a lot of that can be fear of job insecurity, increased workload. When we're getting any kind of technology in, yes, it might look absolutely fantastic on the face of it, but if you're implementing something that currently, say, for example, to do a purchase order as an example, right, it takes 3 clicks.
Yeah.
And then you introduce some new technology and that 3 clicks changes to 6 clicks, then in actual fact, you are increasing, you know, the workload of, you know, said people who are processing and issuing those invoices.
Yeah, completely. You know, good user experience design and thinking about the employee experience as part of your technological landscape is a really important factor. Also, you hit on a word there that I think is critical around, you know, why change and engage is important, and it is fear. So actually, part of the change and engage process on the RPA program that I put in place, one of the things we did is that we instead of implementing just bots, we actually gave them personas and characters, and we gave them names and made them part of the team. We called it the Botsons family, right? So we gave them employee IDs, and you know, they did onboarding and they had their own video channels to try and humanize what they were doing. And then with the real human beings, we were saying, look, you know, the work that we are asking our colleagues to do, our bot colleagues to do, they are releasing you from having to do that so that you are able to do the things that you are better at, namely talking to other human beings, solving problems, being creative. So we introduced, you know, the concept of or eliminated fear by adding humor and also, you know, bringing people along in the journey and explaining this wasn't about, you know, them losing their jobs. It was about actually driving their own productivity, freeing them up to do cooler, more interesting things. We effectively automated a lot of repetitive exception processes. And so our folks were left with the exception processes that were really complicated and actually more interesting to solve. If you get the messaging right and you think about the human factors of change and engage, you can avoid, you know, that natural resistance.
It's a really good point you make. I think it was Gartner found that about 50% of digital transformation efforts fail. And that, a lot of that is to do with the lack of leadership support. And, you know, senior executives not really fully committed to change, or they fail to really communicate the importance of your digital initiatives. And that causes a lot of skepticism and a lot of reluctance and among employees. Now, it sounds like, you know, everybody's sort of aligned internally. And would you agree that, you know, if that leadership support's not there, that could be kind of another failure when it comes to change and engage?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, leadership is a key stakeholder group. I don't know what it's like in other companies, but you know, in Shell, the most senior leaders, you know, we are in an organization that has high degree of technical competence. So generally, the most senior leaders in engineering are some of the best engineers in the world, for example. And so very, very often when we are solving problems, there's the natural tendency to look to the most senior person for the final decision because they are the most knowledgeable. Now, interestingly, in digital transformation, the opposite is often true. The most digitally competent people are the least organizationally experienced. I'm very lucky in that I've got a leadership group that gives me and my team a lot of trust. And, you know, my part of my remit is digital culture. And we've done a lot of work with those leaders earning trust, so that the natural desire to, you know, not quite command and control, but to issue decisions from the top is not necessarily one that we do in the digital space. And having that empowerment in digital is really, really important. And, you know, those leaders then communicating why it's important, being open that, you know, we don't fully understand all of this stuff, but, you know, those guys over there, we trust them. Those kind of messages are also really, really good ones to have.
So do you think, I mean, obviously you're in a really great situation, right? But, you know, our leaders listening to this podcast and they're trying to understand, well, where do I start? Because it's quite daunting, right? It's a really daunting thing to look. I'm trying to improve the task for my team, get the team on board, get them to the right level. I mean, where's the starting line?
Let me open with saying, you know, I am not my background is not in coding. It's not in IT. My first half of my career, I was a sales and marketing professional. So I've you know, led corporate sales organizations and big channel management and brand management teams. But that vitally taught me how to sell. I think, you know, where to start is a really good problem statement. Don't try and fix everything everywhere for all time. Start with a very clear problem statement with little wins that you can build bit by bit. If you start if you try and solve, you know, a boiling the ocean type problem with your digital transformation and spend 2 or 3 years implementing, people are just going to get impatient. What's really better, in my view, is to find, you know, maybe what you're trying to do is you're trying to improve the user experience and eliminate, you know, manual rework in your exception processes, right? So start with something very, very clear and find lots of little wins. You know, don't try and fix everything at once. Try and break it down into tranches. That's really important. The other thing as well is You don't want to be the ivory tower coming in and, you know, solving people's problems. There was a, for those that are old enough to remember, in the 1980s in America, there was a president, Ronald Reagan, who was an ex-actor. He said that the most frightening words to hear in the English language were, "Hi, I'm from the government and I'm here to help." And I kind of think of the same thing around if you're working in a center of excellence or a central function. If you go to the frontline business and, you know, "Hi, I'm here from the digital team and I'm going to come and solve your problems," it's kind of the wrong approach. I think the approach is, I understand that these are some issues, critical issues. Is that correct? Which ones are the most important? How can we work together to solve those in a way that will allow you to do other things? And, you know, we can leverage some of these digital technologies to make that happen. And then, you know, the other thing particularly I found with change is if you do that in collaboration with the beneficiaries of the change, very often, you know, every organization has a few people that are active resistors, right? They're really, for whatever reason, they're just difficult people. I always like to put them in charge of the success of the project. So, you know, find the most change resistant human being, you know who it's going to be. And, you know, it's they are now accountable for the successful outcome, you know, in partnership with you and your team, of course. That's also a, you know, a nice little technique that can help you with, you know, the change resistance problem. And all this comes back to, you know, the salesperson's mentality, which is ask a load of good questions, understand the real root cause of the problem, articulate the solution in language that is meaningful to them. And you don't have to deliver a perfect solution. I always say to my guys, I'd rather have an 80% perfect solution that's used 100% of the time than 100% solution that's used 80% of the time. And, you know, so, you know, adoption, driving adoption is not necessarily about delivering perfection. It's about delivering something that resonates with the end user and that they feel some ownership of. I would say that's those are some of the things I've learned over the years, Ian.
Thank you very much, Fraser. Do you know what? It's been an absolute pleasure meeting you. And thank you very much. And I'm sure all our listeners will love listening to you on our recent podcast.
Well, delighted, and thank you for having me.
Great insights from another one of our thought leaders. Be sure to share the link far and wide. And of course, I look forward to our next 5 minutes together. Bye for now, and have a great and a productive day.